Hi, I'm Alice Creswell. Welcome to my podcast. Check out our website, spiritlifestyle.com, for all our latest news and training resources, and follow me on social media. I'm here today with Keenan Bridges, who has come all the way from Tampa in Florida to be with us in Chester. Keenan is a good friend of ours, and we met in Israel, didn't we?
We did.
And so I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want some things that I'd like to know. So Can you tell me, is there one particular defining moment in your life that where really you either started to follow Jesus for the first time, or something significant that happened that really changed your life?
Yeah, you know, I when I was about 15 years old, I can go earlier than that. When I was about 9 years old, there was a gentleman named John Osteen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who was the founder and pastor of a church named Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, who's now everybody knows it as Joel Osteen's church.
Yeah,
but this was the father.
Yeah.
And I said the prayer of salvation for the first time watching his television broadcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And really didn't have a lot of discipleship at that time. Mm-hmm. So it took me some years. So about at the age of 15 was when I really got serious about the Lord.
Yeah.
And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Did you?
And then the party began.
Wow. And, tell me about the time you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, was that, were you in a church meeting?
I was not in the church meeting. I was in my living room. I was in my living room, and Dr. Mark Sharona was teaching on the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
On the TV?
On the telly,
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So a lot of different things happened
on the
to
TV.
You through watching the TV.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I asked the Lord, I said, can I have that?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, just receive. And so I, right there in my living room one evening, it was the summer of 1996, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and that really changed everything. I began to have a lot of supernatural experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that happened around that same time was a lot of spiritual warfare.
Okay.
Yeah, night terrors, demonic encounters in the night.
So that started after you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, or before? Or
after. After I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
So something happened really good, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you also had this other stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going on.
And it was meant to discourage me from what I was doing, because I started to pray. I started to really intercede, and the Lord began to give me understanding on prayer. And
but the enemy didn't like that.
He didn't like
it. So he was trying to pull you back.
And even I started having a lot of dreams and visions about the church. And during this time where I started having these attacks, it first started when I was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the enemy would try to suffocate me in my sleep.
Wow.
And so I thought to myself, I don't want to go to sleep anymore.
Wow.
Let me just, And then one night while it was happening, it was this intense sort of oppressive attack.
Mm-hmm.
I just screamed out, Jesus. And when I did that, it lifted.
Wow.
Yeah. And then that's when I realized there was power in the name of Jesus.
Amazing.
So that's when the Lord started taking me on this journey of the authority of the believer.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it's great to have the Holy Spirit, but we also need to know our authority.
Yeah.
So that when the opposition comes against us, we can stand firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. And you've actually gone on to write books. One of them's called Kingdom Authority.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking earlier, a friend of ours read that book and it impacted his life so much. He said it just transformed his life from reading it.
Yeah.
But what's so powerful is that you've lived this stuff, haven't
yes.
you? And you're actually, the books you're writing
yes.
are from your own experiences and
yes.
things that God's done in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So, we met in Israel.
We did.
We were on the Sid Roth tour together.
Yes, we were.
And that was a powerful time.
It was.
So you've been a few times now, I think, haven't you?
Yes, it's two times, and I'll be going again in November for
yeah.
the third time.
So you've got your own...
Yeah, we're hosting our tour for the first time. Yeah,
that's really exciting.
My wife and I, so we're excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to go back. It's such a powerful experience. I found that when we were there, I wasn't really thinking much about Israel and how powerful it would be. But when I really felt the Lord Jesus himself was with me and actually saying to me, Alice, I'm going to show you the places where I walked when I was on the earth. And every place we went to, it was just like he was saying, this is what happened. I did this here. And I was like, I was in tears so much. You know, all those sites. It's an amazing place to go and visit.
It truly was amazing. And the Garden Tomb, I had an opportunity to minister in the Garden Tomb.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was very impactful. You know, you asked me earlier about life-changing moments.
Yeah.
That was another life-changing moment for me.
Really?
Yeah. Aside from being filled with the Holy Spirit, which completely, radically transformed my life. But when I was there in the Garden Tomb and just the presence of God just really touching my life and being there where Jesus was raised from the dead, it's like you can't even put words to it. It's just very powerful.
Yeah.
And so it really, I believe, it took my walk to another level in terms of my understanding, walking through the land of the Bible, seeing where Jesus slept, where he ate, where he walked on water, you know, all these different things. And it just took my Bible knowledge, my depth of the word to another level.
Yeah.
So I think it was
It's
really powerful.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Just while we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just really sense the Holy Spirit's presence right now. And I feel like there's some people watching that have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit before.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, would you mind praying for them?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay? You know, the Holy Spirit is the most important person on the earth. You know, Jesus said that when I go, I'll send the Comforter to you, and he'll testify me. He will show you things to come. He'll be with you forever. And so I don't know about you, but I've struggled with loneliness in my life and struggled with insecurity. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit really came into my life that I understood that I was not alone, that God was with me, that Jesus was real. And so I want to extend that invitation to you, to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, to know him deeply and to know him intimately. And so I want to pray for you right now. Father, I just stretch my hands, Lord, as an act of faith. And Lord, I ask now, Lord, that you would fill all of those watching with the Holy Spirit. And they may be thinking, well, I thought I already had the Holy Spirit. I'm already saved. You are. But that empowerment, that overflow, that feeling of not only the Spirit, but the soul is available to you, so that you can be empowered to live supernaturally. So Father, right now I just thank you for touching your people. I just feel your presence even now. And I release that infilling to your children right now. And all you have to do is say, I receive him. I receive him.
I
receive him right now in the name of Jesus. We receive that infilling, that overflowing, that baptism of power and love right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful.
Good.
I love it. You know, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you really start to feel his presence manifest.
Yeah.
Like when you talk about angels, they come.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right.
It's just, I just love talking about Jesus and his Spirit. And so what do you sense the Lord speaking to you about at this time, for this season? Is there anything particular that the Lord has put on your heart that he's doing right now in this year or this season that we're in at the moment?
Restoration.
Okay, yeah.
In fact, he said to me that he would restore the years that the locusts have stolen. And there's so many people who need restoration.
I mean,
you look at the church and there's just so much going on. There's so much discouragement. There's so much failure. There's so much frustration, and the body of Christ needs to be restored in every area of our lives. And so I believe that this is a year, amidst all the things that are going on, that God's really going to restore his people. But I believe the caveat to that is identity. You know, it's really time for the church to know who we are.
Yeah.
You know, our inheritance as sons and daughters, spirit of adoption, understanding that we're no longer orphans, we're no longer strangers, we're no longer aliens, but we are members of the household of God.
Yeah.
We have an identity, and God loves us. And, you know, if anything speaks just volumes in this season that we're in. It's the love of God. And I don't believe, Alice, that we really understand the depths of God's love.
Mm.
How much He really loves us and how far He's willing to go for us. I mean, the Bible says that He, in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. But then in the 17th verse, the verse right after that, it says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. And so understanding the redemptive plan of God and what He's doing in this season. And the last thing, I won't say the last thing, but another thing, is that what the enemy's been doing is smoke screens, and we can't be distracted. We cannot be distracted in this season. There are a lot of things that the enemy's been trying to do that are designed to distract us, to kick up dust and smoke so that we can't see clearly. But I want people to understand that the glory cloud of God is more powerful than the smoke screen. And if we can just blow away the dust and we can see the real glory, the real manifest glory of God, it's there. And I believe God's revealing it in this season.
That's great. The Lord's been speaking to me about something similar to do with distractions, and that the enemy's just coming in and trying to distract people all in different ways, whatever it is that is most likely to distract each one of us. Like for me, it's kind of getting carried away, doing too many things. I've always got ideas, and whether it's businesses or whatever it might be. So for me, the Lord's been showing me that the enemy's been trying to distract me from my main focus. So I've been getting back to, and it's asking the Lord, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? Which is good for anyone to ask, isn't it? What am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to do that? What is happening in my life now that is in the way? Even if it's good, you know, sometimes it's time to lay things down. So I've been through the season recently where the Lord's just been pinpointing different things that the enemy's been trying to distract me with, and I've had to lay them down, which has been tough. But it's like now we're getting some focus. And I think that's the same thing the Lord's doing with many people. It's really just bringing focus into people's lives.
You know, along with that distraction thing, another thing that people are really being distracted by is themselves. You know, it's a very subtle thing. You know, we have focused on self. We focused on personalities. We focused on what the, you know, in fact, one time I was having a conversation with another pastor, and we were talking about a lot of the things that were going on, you know, a lot of the bad stuff and, you know, all that. And the Holy Spirit sort of dealt with me. He said, why are you talking about the bad? And he says, what about all the good that I'm doing? And we have to be careful not to adopt a tabloid mentality, because it's the junk that sells. It's the failures and the just the all the negative things that really get people's attention. But I think we need to put our mind back on the purpose of God and what He's doing in the earth, because what He's doing is much better than anything the enemy's doing.
That's good. And that reminds me of, you know, that I believe we're right. We've been in the wilderness a long time, and now we're ready to take the promised land. But thinking about, you know, you mentioned things getting in the way and looking at the negative. Thinking about those 12 spies. That 10 of them came back from spying out the promised land, and they brought fear into the camp.
That's right.
And then, you know, the Israelites didn't get into they couldn't take the promised land. They died in the wilderness because they came into agreement with the fear.
That's right.
But thankfully, Joshua and Caleb, they saw the promises, they saw the good stuff, and they focused on that faith. So that's our choice we have right now, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Are we going to focus on the negative and get fear in our hearts and stay and die in the wilderness where
Come
we
on.
Are? Or are we going to actually see what That's God's right. got for us and say, no, this is our time. I believe the Lord's saying it's a time of acceleration and advancement for us to take the promised land. So,
wow, that's good.
Well, yeah.
That'll preach.
So now you pray for a lot of people and see a lot of healings, and you teach on healing. Was there a time in your life where you prayed for people that didn't get well, or did it just happen straight away? Can you tell me more about that?
There was a time when I didn't see much healing. In fact, that's one of the things that motivated me to desire the supernatural. Not seeing the results, you know. in a church that believed the word, but a lot of people were sick. Some even died.
Yeah.
And even sickness in my own family. And so I never forget the Lord taking me through this process. And the first thing he had to do was show me that it was his will to heal.
Yeah.
Because you'll be surprised, even as charismatics, Pentecostals, many people don't believe it's God's unconditional will to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they point to is a negative situation. Well, if it was his will to heal, then why did grandma die? Why did this person, you know? Mm-hmm. And so God started taking me through this journey. I thought I knew the word as it related to healing. And I never forget, I was sitting in a class one day, and the professor was teaching, it was a Bible class, and he says, you know, most of you in here have wrong theology. And that little demon of pride rose up in me, and I thought, who's he talking to? Not me, I know the word. But by about the second night of the class, actually that same day, I realized I didn't know.
Wow.
After being saved for years, I didn't know the plan of God concerning healing. Yeah. So out of my frustration, God started to bring me to a place of agitation and really discontentment with what I was seeing.
Mm.
And from that, you know, I've heard it said your greatest annoyance can become your greatest anointing.
Yeah.
And I began to see God. I said, God, there's more to this. And then I would pray for people and nothing would happen, but I was persistent.
Mm.
I kept persevering. Mm. I said, okay, I'm not the standard. Your word is.
Yeah.
And if you said it, then it's true.
Yeah.
Regardless of if I'm not seeing the results. So I began to press through. And it's amazing, when I first met my wife, she dealt with chronic migraines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It was debilitating. I mean, you know, people who deal with migraines, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Because it's just, it will just completely destabilize you.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything. Yeah. And on our first sort of outing, she had come up to Atlanta. We were still courting at this time. And she had an internship in Atlanta. And we were hanging out. And she had this episode, this migraine. And I said, what's wrong with you? She said, well, I have this migraine. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And it went away instantly.
Wow.
And it was just like, okay. And then as time progressed, we started to see more healings and more healings.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, I never forget, there was a time we would have these prayer nights when we first started our church. Have these prayer nights. And the presence of God was so strong. The power of God would just heal people. A lady had been there to our prayer meetings a couple of times. But this one time she came in. And she limped because about from the lower part of her body down, she really just had pins and screws.
Wow.
Because she'd been in a very severe car accident. Thrown out of the vehicle several feet. Doctor told her she would never walk again. Had to reconstruct a lot of the bones in her body. So there's a lot of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if by some miracle you were ever able to remotely walk, you still wouldn't be able to function. You wouldn't be able to wear heels or go play any sports, or bowl, or skate, or do anything like that. So she came to the meeting, and we were just praying, and the fire of God came down, and she started screaming. And I didn't know what was wrong with her, so I said, hey, let's just leave her alone. And so she was on the ground for about 30 minutes.
Wow.
And just screaming, crying out to God. She gets up, and they kind of take her to her car.
Mm-hmm.
I had a book signing 2 days later. I get to the book signing. She comes in the door with full workout gear on. And she comes right up to the table, and she's drenched in sweat. And she says, you won't believe what I just did. I said, well, what did you do? I just ran 9 miles.
No way.
I said, you really just, you didn't hear what I said, Pastor. I just ran 9 miles.
Wow.
And I said, oh, wow. She said, don't you understand that they told me I would never walk again. And we realized she brought 4 pages of x-rays. The metal in her body had turned to bone.
Wow.
Now she wears
high. So she brought the x-rays.
She brought all the x-rays.
See what
they've
done.
Yeah. The she can inline skate. She can wear heels now. She bowls. She does everything they said she couldn't do. And when we see things like that, we know that God is a miraculous God. Yeah.
So we've been talking about miracles and healings and amazing thing that God does, you know.
Yeah.
He loves to heal, doesn't he? So there's people watching us right now that I believe are sick and that have infirmities that require healing. Would you mind praying for them?
Yeah, you know, I believe God wants to do some creative miracles, if you're watching. And I was just in a meeting where a man, basically his eyeball was detached from his brain during an accident. And it's it's been this way for about 6 years. And in a meeting, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge.
Wow.
And his eye just popped and he saw instantly. And I believe there's somebody, maybe you have an eye condition, maybe there's something else, maybe there's metal in your hip or metal in your knee, and God wants to turn it to bone right now in the name of Jesus. And so I want to pray for you. Father, right now I send your healing power to every person watching, and we just release the anointing to heal right now. It's flowing, that as they watch this, as they release their faith, that Lord, they're going to receive their healing instantly in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we release miracles. We release creative miracles. We release miracles of the pancreas and miracles of the liver, that someone with diabetes are being healed even right now in the name of Jesus. There's a woman, you have a skin condition. It's like you were burned, and there's scar tissue all over your body. The Lord's regenerating tissue even right now in Jesus' name. And then there's some others that your miracle that you need is not necessarily physical, but there's an emotional healing. You've been wounded deeply, wounded by the church, wounded by leaders, wounded by a spouse. The Lord wants to heal you in Jesus' name. Just receive it now. Amen.
Wow, that's powerful. I can feel that. Mm. All those creative miracles happening.
Wow.
So you were talking about words of knowledge. Like, you got a word of knowledge about the guy with the the eye.
Yes.
Ball and the whatever it was. That when he was healed, how do you get a word knowledge? Is it the same every time, or how does God speak to you about conditions or about other people?
Well, it's different. I'm sort of an auditory learner, so I will hear something.
Okay.
You know, I'll hear knees or ankles, or sometimes it'll be a visual thing as well.
So
I'll see something.
If you hear it, is it like an audible voice, or is it like you just hear it in your own thoughts? How does it work?
There have been times where it was something that it felt audible. I mean, it was that strong, that loud.
Yeah.
But then other times it's just an impression. You know, you feel, okay, God wants to do something with the knees.
Yeah.
And then other times, again, it's visual. You know, I'll see a knee or I'll see a particular area of the body.
Is that in your imagination, or do you see it like a screen in front of you, kind of vision? How does that work?
It's been both for me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's in my mind. Other times I've actually seen something physical. You know, I'll give an example. When it comes to deliverance, for example, there have been times where I've seen things on people physically.
Yeah.
And no one else sees it. You know, one time I was in a meeting and a girl, she had black teardrops coming from her eyes as if her makeup was running.
Wow.
And they were perfectly symmetrical. It's almost like they were carved into her face. And I said, did anybody else see that? They said, no.
Oh, really? So
no,
you could
nobody
see it,
saw it,
so it was real.
It was physical.
But nobody else could see it.
No, nobody else saw
it. Wow.
Yeah, and there are times like that where you'll see something physical, and the Lord's, you know, it could be a spirit of depression, it could be death, suicide, there are many different manifestations.
Yeah.
And so, but usually the Lord will tell me something. Like the Lord just told me while we're talking, there's a lady named Loretta, and you're being healed right now. A back injury, God's healing you, your lower back right now.
Wow.
So it just comes like
that's
that.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because what's good about, I mean, you get words of knowledge and you get them in different ways, but then it's knowing what to do with it.
Yes.
How do you apply that to the person? So it's always, well, it generally seems to be that you step out in faith. So you might see something or hear something or feel something, but then you've got to speak it out, haven't you, or act upon it, and that's where the miracle then takes place.
That's right.
Which is great. That's where we've got to have the faith and the courage, I suppose, to step out in faith.
Yeah, you'll find, even in the ministry of Jesus, that action activates miracles.
Mm.
Every time there was a miracle, there was a call to action.
Yeah.
Jesus would say, get up. He would say, rise. He would say, come.
Yeah, that's
true. Mm-hmm. So those are action words. Those are verbs. And so if you're going to live a miraculous life, you have to have an action vocabulary. You have to be a person that's willing to step out and do something.
Yeah.
You know, miracles don't happen by osmosis. We have to act in order for the miraculous to come into manifestation.
Yeah.
So I tell people, do something you could never do before. Move in something you never moved in before. You know, if it's maybe people want to know about how to operate in the prophetic. Well, you can't be prophetic and silent at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'm a prophet in my mind. It doesn't work like that. You have to actually speak something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we encourage people, if they want to experience miracles, They have to do something, have to move on their faith, move out. And faith is simply the revelation of God's word in action.
Mm-hmm.
It's when God reveals something and we act on it.
Yeah.
We're operating in faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I find that, but people tend to think, oh, it's easy for this person, easy for Keenan, he can just, he steps out in faith all the time, it's easy for him, he sees all these miracles. But actually, like, I find it really scary most of the time. So I might feel like God's saying something, but it's that stepping out in faith really does take courage and guts, doesn't it?
It does, it does.
But I know from my own experience that unless I kind of push myself and make myself do it, whether it's going up to somebody and offering to pray or speaking something out over somebody or whatever it might be, if I don't do that, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, that's
right. So I always think, well, if I want to see this person's life transformed, you know, if I want to, if I've got a compassion in my heart towards them, I want to see them healed or whatever, I've got to do something.
That's right.
And I kind of, I force myself very often to do it, and that's when the miracle comes, like you say.
That's good.
Yeah. That's how God partners with us, I guess.
He does.
You know, it's His power.
That's
but
right.
He expects us to do our bit as well. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one time the Lord spoke to me, in terms of the miraculous. Okay, God, I want to see this, I want to see that, I want to see supernatural, I want to see miracles.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, okay, let's go. In other words, people want to see a miracle. God needs hands.
Mm-hmm.
He needs feet.
Yeah.
He needs a willing vessel.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is that we always have to be willing to do something we've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Well, thank you, Keenan. It's been great talking to you today.
Yeah,
thanks for being with us.
Amen. Great. Thank you.
Bless you.
Check out our website, spiritlifestyle.com, for all our latest news and training resources, and follow me on social media.